Today, our second passage, one that's very well known, and one I dread every time it comes around. It is in Genesis 22. It is the story of the sacrifice of Isaac. And I'll go ahead and read it, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. So, just a little backdrop. I think we kind of know the story, and we've been part of it. But about 10 chapters ago, God made a promise to Abraham. He told Abraham that he was going to that if Abraham would go forward to a new place, that God would give him a place to be his own place, and a place where his descendants would become very populous, and they would be as numerous as the stars in the heaven and the sand on the shore, and that that God would bless this man and bless his children, and that for all of time nations would bless themselves because of this person. His name was Abram then. And then he wandered. He wandered and he experienced drought and he experienced fear and he experienced gain and he experienced loss and he experienced so much, but he never did have a child. And he was fearful that the promise that God made to him was going to not go to his own child, but to one of his servants. And then he received a child from one of his wife's servants, a concubine, and that child's name was Ishmael. And then there was a child born to his wife after she was still able to reasonably give birth, and that child's name was Isaac. And so for 10 chapters, God has been building this story of this inheritor of the promise. And as God has worked in the life of Abraham and Sarah, as he has done wonderful things and horrible things, we're kind of left here with Abraham now, who is now 115 years old, and he has this one son. He has sent away the son of the concubine, and he has only Isaac to inherit the promise. And that's where we are when we pick up our reading for today. So after all of these things happened, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, "Abraham," and Abraham said, "Here I am." And God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you." And so Abraham rose early in the morning. He saddled his donkey, and he took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering. And he set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. And on the third day, Abraham looked up and he saw the place far away. And then Abraham said to the young men, "You stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there and we will worship and we will come back to you." Okay. So Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, and he laid it, he said, "Stay here with the donkey." Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and Isaac himself carried it and the fire and the knife. And the two of them walked together. Isaac said to his father, "Abraham." "Father," he said. "Here I am, son," Abraham said. "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "God himself will provide a burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. And when they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there, and he laid the wood on the altar, and he bound his son Isaac, and he laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then Abraham reached out his hand, and he took the knife to kill his son. But an angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And Abraham said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your own son, your only son, from me." And Abraham looked up and he saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and he took the ram and he offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. And so Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And it is said to this day, on the mountain of the Lord, it shall be provided. Let us pray. Lord God, may your spirit be with me this day. And may your spirit be with us. And may the heart of this reading find its way into the heart of your people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I think if I was one of the people putting the Bible together back in, you know, various times, it kind of happened once about 700 before the Common Era BC. It happened again about 70 AD. It happened again when the Christians put their own Bibles together. And, you know, and it seems that at any one of those times, I could have just left this story out. And the Bible would be way more comfortable without this one, I have to say. I come to this story and I go, wow, did this really happen? You know, what could this story possibly mean? How do I get my head and my heart around a God who promises for 60 years, 70 years of a man's life that he will have an heir and that heir will carry forward a promise of bringing God and understanding of God to all people? How could the God who is faithful in this journey and who shapes and molds Abraham in his life, how could he come to this place of it feels like trickery, doesn't it? You know, that here's God, the God of all creation, being so cavalier with a human father's feelings, as if there's something to be gained by something that feels almost as if it is treachery. That somehow the idea that if we'll put, even a best case scenario, that God did this to put Abraham to a test, to see if he's really good enough, to see if he's worthy to be the one who to whom this promise comes. I mean, I get that. I get that you want to be sure if you're gonna trust one person to bring your message to all of humanity, that has to be a person worthy and made worthy over a life of difficulty and tribulation. I understand that, and yet there's a certain underhandedness to this whole story that leaves me kind of thinking, wow, God, is that really how you are? You know, and so there's a part of me that really wants to stand in judgment on God. There's a big part of me that wants to stand on judgment of Abraham. You know, back when angels were going over to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy the city, you know, that Abraham saw that to be remarkably unjust. His heart hurt for those whose lives were going to be lost in that activity of God. And Abraham pleaded with God. Abraham argued with God. Abraham negotiated with God and went from if there's 100 good people to if there's 50, to if there's 20, to if there's 10. And God listened to Abraham when Abraham pleaded for justice from God. And yet, in this story, Abraham receives the message from God, and all he offers back is silence. He doesn't argue with God. It feels like he didn't even tell Sarah, his wife. He just got up early the next morning, very early, probably before Sarah was even awake, and took Isaac and the two men with him to carry out this duty that God had put on him. Now I know that in the region there was many of the cultures practiced human sacrifice. And I know one easy way out of this is to say, well, God really didn't bring this message to Abraham, that the message was really just something it was the thing to do in the region to sacrifice your firstborn. You give your fertility in exchange for God's fertility, and then the land continues to provide what is needed for the community to survive, and that was a theology that was kind of out there and present, and that Abraham, when it was his time, when Isaac was of age, that he gave in to the social pressures of the community in which he lived. You know, it's good to know that people of faith have been bending to the expectations of the society for as long as the record goes back, if that is the accurate interpretation of what happened. And yet it feels very clearly like God is very much on this journey with Abraham. That Abraham is asked by God to go and to do this absolutely unthinkable thing. The child of his dreams, the child of the promise, that he needed to let go of holding on even to the promise of God in faithfulness to God. Part of me wants to think that he was a crazy man, that he was hearing voices, that he moved forward in a fit of insanity, given over to something that makes no sense to me, but that doesn't fit with the story before or after. In fact, this story, it lies in such a place in the Abraham story that, I mean, the next thing that really happens in the Abraham story is that Sarah dies. It's like the entire story, from the call of Abraham to the end of this story, when we give over to the story of Isaac, who survived the sacrifice. It's like the whole thing was set up so that we can experience the discomfort that comes when we step into the story. So that we could experience the truth that in our own lives there is a tremendous amount of loss. That we can know that in the lives of every person that has ever lived, there has been pain that is not explainable. There has been hurt that we can't get our hearts around. That there is a judgment that comes to us from God that is applied to God, and we feel that God is wanting in the midst of our own lives and our own being. So we find this story, the long, long wanting and longing for the birth of the one to inherit the promise. We visualize, can't you visualize Abraham as he's watching his child grow, imagining the day when he will give the blessing to Abraham, or to Isaac, and he will bless him and he will pass forward the promise that God has made to him. Imagine the joy of the imagining, those of you who have children who came to be married, and you thought for years even about planning your child's wedding and wondering who she or he would partner with for the rest of their lives. And you had all of these dreams about all that was going to happen. And Abraham had dreams about Isaac, dreams about finding Isaac a wife, dreams about the grandchildren that would come to him, the dreams about all of that is part of being human and being alive. And Abraham has all of these dreams, and then the word of God comes and says, you got to let go of your dreams. Because sometimes it doesn't happen the way you want it to. You got to make this journey that you don't want to make. Walking for 3 days. I try to imagine myself walking with my beloved child. I know what's at the end of the journey, but my son doesn't. And we walk on in silence. I with the renderings of my own mind, and my child with the renderings of her mind. And we go step by fateful step on a journey that feels to me as it has no possible good outcome. Isaac, like Jesus, carries the wood of his own sacrifice. I kind of love the way the thing turns out. That even as Abraham shows his full faithfulness, he raises a knife to slay his son bound on the altar. The voice of God comes forward and stops him. And there happens to be a ram stuck by its horns in the thicket that can be sacrificed instead. And that's almost too convenient. That's like a B movie. But it's okay. It happened. And I'm glad it happened that way. I'm glad the promise is what it is. But my friends, I also know that this is a terribly difficult passage. But I know that it relates very powerfully to many of our lives. And I think the longer we live, the more this passage connects to our lives. Those who have lost children to death. That's always a horrible thought, to outlive one's children. Those who have lost parents too young, who have lost partners too soon. Those who have lost so much as life goes forward and wondering how it can happen. Those who have lost their dreams and their hopes, people who have lost their marriages. The one thing that we kind of experience together is this loss of our greatest dream and hope. I think we all know that feeling. And to be able to be faithful, even in the midst of loss, and know that God's promise is true, and that we are safe in the arms of God our Creator. So as I come to the end of the passage again, this time around, I think this is now probably the eighth or ninth time that I've preached on this passage in this congregation. It's like, wow, I struggle with it. I don't get it. I can't trivialize it. I want it to be this cultural thing, and Abraham misunderstood. However it happened that he came to be upon that mountain. What I do know that is on the mountain, God was able to provide. And God didn't only provide the lamb. God provided a truth to Abraham that the love of God is greater than any other love, thus still. Let us pray. Lord, we make so many decisions in our lives, and we respond to what we perfectly believe is your calling, only to find ourselves in a place we don't want to be. We know this story so very well in our own experience. Yes, Lord, we identify with Abraham, and we have called out to you in anger and in judgment, fearful for what you were doing with the days that we have before us. And you are faithful still. You are present to hear our angst and our rage and our anger. And you are present to offer and to receive our love. Lord, make us whole. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.